So today is going to be a bit of a different format. As I mentioned, sermon and sermonette, both messages on PowerPoint presentations. The first, again, Foundation Outreach International, combined with the trip to Israel, combined with Sri Lanka and India. The second presentation will be a presentation that I've given a couple of different times in different church areas. It's about the tour to Israel, and I think it leads in or is a good follow-up to the message in the sermonette. Because ultimately, the things that we'll look at in the sermonette will only be answered by the return of Jesus Christ. And I know many people here in Miami, as well as here in West Palm Beach, had been asking me to do a presentation for Israel, one that I had done before. I know the Moors were on the same trip that we were back in 2016. I have a lot to cover with regard to that that trip, and hopefully through this will inspire us even more so in the work that God has given us to do. But with regard to Foundation Outreach International, turn with me initially here to two scriptures. First of all, to Galatians 6 and verse 6. Galatians 6, verse 6. I think we all are very aware that Foundation Outreach International is a nonprofit organization. This is the arm of the church dedicated to what the slogan is, a world of good. And again, it's being led by Rhonda Waddell. Here in Galatians 6, beginning in verse 6, it gives us some instruction, some direction regarding why we are looking to increase our efforts internationally and nationally. This is not a foundation outreach. It's called international, but it also represents a lot of the national work that we want to do, things that we even want to initiate here in our local church area. Here in Galatians 6, verse 6, it says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches." Verse 7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Notice that it says here, do good to all, to all. And I think much of the work that we have been doing has been focused on the church and on the church members, even our work in Africa that I will just mention here in a moment. A lot of that work and the effort is to members who are in the church, helping them with scholarship programs, etc. The work over in Rwanda is really a work to the brethren in the church. But God also tells us to do good to all. To do good to all. And this is an effort for us to be, again, to focus on the all part of that, as well as the work that we're continuing to do in the church. Go up into Galatians 5. Galatians 5, beginning in verse 13. Galatians 5. Beginning in verse 13. It says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." And that's the effort that we want to do. We are here to really serve one another. And to that end, FOI is launching what's called the Service Leadership Program. And we'll look at that as we go through the slides here and introduce the new program to you. So these are the projects currently that we're familiar with regard to FOI, the different countries, Ghana, Kenya, Jordan, Rwanda, a tremendous work that we've been doing. The three programs there at the bottom, things that we are, I think, somewhat familiar with, Hilltop, Embark, and the Scholarship Program. This is the new mission statement for Foundation Outreach. It is Foundation Outreach International's mission is to promote volunteerism, develop the potential of our volunteers as service-minded leaders, and improve communities around the globe through impactful humanitarian and educational programs. Very different mission statement. We really are going to be focused on developing the potential of individuals to serve. to not only serve within the church, the different programs or different outreach programs we have, but also to serve internationally, to serve within the communities, to be able to start reaching out, even in this area, to some soup kitchens and some other places where there are needs. There are needs around the world, and the church certainly, through Scripture, has been given a charge to be able to do that. We're very excited with what we're looking to move forward in doing. So one of the big changes that is being initiated is what's called the Service Leadership Academy. The Service Leadership Academy. What is it? It's a 12-month guided learning path to develop what we call FOI ambassadors through education and volunteerism. When does it start? Now, this is, I had a busy couple of months here. So surprise, surprise, is tomorrow, January the 21st, 22nd at 6 p.m. I will send out the link to this to all the members here, knowing that you're just learning of this now. It will be recorded so that those who will not be able to see the kickoff and understand more detail about the Service Leadership Academy will be able to do so. Tuning into the learning that will take place tomorrow, no commitment to the program from this meeting. This is really educational. I'll go into a lot more detail than what I'm covering today. Who can participate in the program? Any member can participate regardless of their age. But we really want to encourage our young people who need service hours for school or want to participate in the program. This is a perfect way to gain knowledge and to fill that requirement. Now, many of our young people have that requirement, but really encouraging all of us to be able to participate in some way. Anyone who would like to know more about the work of FOI, you can look at the website as well. How does someone sign up? You can go to support@foundationoutreachinternational.org, and an email will be sent to you from that. What do participants need to do? There'll be a monthly Zoom call with training, education, introducing the programs, going into a lot more detail. There'll be some efforts here locally that I'll be tapping some individuals, looking for volunteers here locally who would like to help assist me with some local efforts that we really want to begin to focus on. And then the church is providing resources. They're providing education on how to launch different types of humanitarian efforts or projects, even locally. Very much excited about that. What are the engagement activities? The activities will be simple as social media posts that may need to be done with regard to different efforts we may have going on. Other choices may include serving on one of the Hilltop teams, as well as our local projects that we'll be working towards. When are the calls? When are the monthly calls? The monthly calls will be Sunday evenings, probably around 6 p.m. as is the one tomorrow. What are some of the topics that will be covered? The topics will be FOI sponsors, such as Hilltop, the scholarship program, Smile Rwanda, and Embark. Again, multiple other different things that we're looking to launch as well. And one of the things that I have in front of the committee, or will have in front of the committee, is expanding from those particular countries over into India and into Sri Lanka. India, I have a deep fondness for, having spent a large portion of my work career in India on humanitarian projects, and I'll be sharing some of that information with you today. And I'll be using India as an example of why we need Christ's return. We're very, very blessed in this nation. And I think through seeing some of the pictures, some of the other things, will inspire you to pray more earnestly for Christ's return. And not only that, but to get involved in some of the things that we're looking to do as well. Again, the tagline is a world of good, a world of good. I want to give a brief overview of the feast in India, Sri Lanka. There's a longer presentation that I did when I returned from the feast out on the internet, but I want to kind of give a highlight of that. I know there were some here that did not see that, but I want to also use that to transition into some of the work that I've done in the past in India to give you a view of why Christ needs to return, as well as some of the efforts that we're looking to expand on with regard to Foundation Outreach International. So first of all, Calcutta, Italy. I want to back up one slide here. So these are the locations where I spent the feast this year. Calcutta, you can see there at the top of the screen, is right over the country line between India and Bangladesh. Bangladesh is one of the poorest nations on the face of the earth. One of the poorest nations on the face of the earth, but also has one of the lowest crime rates of any country on the face of the earth. But it's very, very poor, and we have members in Calcutta, a very impoverished area. The other area that I spent the feast was down in, it was in Sri Lanka. So I want to look at Calcutta, Italy. I mean, excuse me, Calcutta, India. This is a picture of really a typical aerial shot of almost anywhere in India. Highly dense, highly populated. You can even tell from the picture that much of it is impoverished. And, you know, this picture could be here in India. It could be in China. It could be many places around the world, many third world countries, many places in Africa would look the same. Thankfully, this part of India is very green. Other parts would have the same level of poverty, and it looks like it's desert in many, many areas. This is a picture that was taken right outside of my hotel room, which was the Marriott where I stayed at the feast, but right outside of the window there was this area that's a bathing area. You can see the color of the water is green. But this is where those in that particular area bathe. So India today is a contrast of the very, very rich to the very, very poor. There's not much of a middle class. Technology is starting to bring more of a middle class to India. But you have the very rich, those who can stay in very nice hotels or drive very, very nice cars, to the very, very poor. You do see a lot more cars around India today, a necessity to get from point A to point B. A lot more cars today than there was many, many years ago when I first started traveling to India that saw mostly motorcycles and three-wheel vehicles. This is a typical street in India. You see the lady there still has a mask on. COVID is still an issue in India, not a major issue. Matter of fact, as I mentioned before, that they had expected the COVID to spread very, very fast in some of the more densely populated areas of India. And that just wasn't the case. It didn't spread as badly as they thought in that particular area. Many reasons they thought why. But India is a country of contrast. You can see a relatively new car in the background and a person-drawn carriage in the foreground. And you see a lot of that throughout India. They're going through a contrast these days, no doubt about that. But then you have this picture, and again, this is another picture right out of the hotel room of this incredible skyline. From here, it looks pretty much almost like any other city. Calcutta has grown tremendously since I was there several years ago. The highway that you see going through there wasn't even there. Many of the buildings there wasn't even there. The hotel I stayed in wasn't even built then. So things are changing there, which is good, but there's still an incredible need throughout the country, tremendous poverty. Today we have two deacons, recent deacons that were ordained there in India. In the picture there, Mr. Tarun Ghosh and Mr. Eugene Kumar, both are tremendous work that they're doing. Very small congregations there, country of millions. But they're doing a tremendous work there on behalf of the church. I was very excited to hear that they were just ordained deacons serving there very faithfully in that area. At the feast there in India, these were the groups that were there. Many of them, as I mentioned before, did not speak English. Only a few of them spoke English, two or three. The vast majority of them spoke Bengali, which is the language of Bangladesh. Again, they are just across the border from it. Very, very poor country. Very, very poor country. But they were very attentive. God has called them to understand the truth. What was very interesting is that these individuals here come from multiple backgrounds, multiple religious backgrounds. We had a Seventh-day Adventist there. We had Muslims with Muslim background there. We had Catholic background there. So as I began to talk about God's work, what Mr. Kumar asked me to do is, can you just go over the foundational teachings of the church? make sure that they understand the foundational teachings of the Bible, the foundational teachings of the church. And that was the focus, particularly focusing on who God is, God the Father, Jesus Christ, and what the Holy Spirit was. Because in that particular nation, they worship multiple gods. So it's very important that they wanted to be able to have that understanding during the conference there. From there, we went to Negombo, Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka is a very beautiful country, very, very green there. But what was amazing there is, I think everyone is aware of the recent political unrest in the country and how bad it's been. The country, when we were there several years ago, was, you know, very, very nice. This time when we went, you could tell the poverty. You could tell the poverty, particularly because of the leadership there. I would say because of the recent political unrest and things that have happened in their particular nation, they were probably pushed back 10 or 15 years in time, if not much further. Christ needs to return. Those things won't change until Christ returns. Some of the reasons that were given was embezzlement of funds, of government funds, and all sorts of other things that we are so familiar with that happens around the world. But these were the brethren that were there in Sri Lanka. Wonderful, wonderful individuals. Most of the individuals in both India and Sri Lanka only have been in the church, been called recently, within the last 5 years. Some only within a year. And sadly, they go through some of the very difficult trials and sad trials that we go through, death, etc. The young lady in the upper left-hand corner, as well as in the lower right-hand corner, they're the same individual. She's the one that just recently died from kidney failure. So there at the feast with a smile, anointed her. She knew that she was very, very sick. But the medical facilities there aren't like what we have here in the United States. If you have lots of money, then you can get lots of excellent care. The same thing within India. India has some of the greatest and most talented doctors and surgeons, probably on the face of the earth. But if you don't have money, you don't have access. Or your access is not up to the standard where it could be in order to do many of the life-saving surgeries and other things and medicines that are necessary. She had a kidney transplant, and many of the medications that was needed to in order to sustain her just were not available. These things won't change until Christ returns, no doubt about that, but we look forward to that so much. And again, at the feast, we were able to enjoy many things. This was one of the talent shows that we had with the ladies dancing. But this is what we want to see more often, as God does allow and call people, is more baptisms. But that's not our doing. We want to preach the gospel. We want to do the work, you know, whether it's through the church or through foundation outreach. God's calling is his part. That's his part. He calls into the work of his whom he chooses. And then it's up to the individual to study, to show themselves approved, and to come to the point where they want to be baptized. That's what we all want. It was a pleasure to be able to hold a baptism there in Sri Lanka this past year. But in a nation, a country with millions of people, there's really just a small handful of, you know, take all the Church of God efforts that take place in both of those countries. It's literally a handful. But we want to be able to not only do the work of preaching the gospel, we want to also do the work of outreach, as I've mentioned before. So that's just a little idea of the individuals there. Again, what we were asked to do, what I was asked to do, is to teach some of the fundamental teachings of Scripture to them. You know, I emphasize the importance of studying God's Word. We went through very familiar Scriptures, but I had to translate them from English into Bengali. And then I had to make sure that I explained the English well, because I'm not sure what the Bengali says. And that's one of the dangers. You know, they have their Bible. I'm not sure what their Bible says in certain things, particularly when you start talking about doctrinal matters, the Holy Spirit, who the Father is, who Jesus Christ is. So in addition to reading it in English, having them read it in Bengali, it then is going, looking them in the eyes and say, do you understand? Do you have questions? You understand what I'm speaking about? And they had a lot of questions, which meant that they were understanding. We went through typical scriptures like this. The importance of studying God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, emphasizing that. Understanding God's truth and rightly dividing his truth, so important. Went through places like Ecclesiastes. And furthermore, my son, be admonished by these. Of the making of many books, there is no end. One of the things that I do when I went to India over the years is I would meet with many of their gurus. Many of the untouchables, you know, I had access to them. Many of the priests in many of the temples, and I would sit down and talk with them. Many of them spoke English, several of them didn't. I had a translator there. And I would ask them about their religion, about their God. What are they doing? You know, what do they believe? And one thing that they would give me is a stack of books. I have many books that I can't read because it's in all sorts of languages that I don't understand, as gifts. But one day, they're going to understand the truth. There's only one book of truth that God has provided mankind. That's the Bible. You have to believe that in faith, that that is the Bible. Making many other books, really there is no end. We covered the fundamental beliefs, really focusing on the Godhead. I took some of the fundamental beliefs, the actual paragraphs, and translated them into Bengali, and we went through those, talking about who Jesus Christ was and who Jesus Christ is. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. One God? God the Father and Jesus Christ? Not hundreds of gods, thousands of gods? But we had to come back to, what does the Bible say? This is the foundation. And thankfully, those who God is calling had an eager desire to understand that. We went through biblical support, actually spending a great deal of time in John. You know, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, speaking of Jesus Christ. You know, many of them believed that Jesus Christ was just another prophet. You know, hey, he could easily be accepted into many of the religions there. He's just another God. Yeah, we take him in like everybody else. No, that's not what God's word says. One God and Son. That's it. So taking them through those understandings. We covered many areas having to do with the fundamental belief, particularly the Holy Spirit, a topic that was hard for them to get their hands around. And some of them who had even been attending church for a while still had the understanding that the Holy Spirit was a third person. But we had to sit down and go through the scriptures, show them the scriptures. Let's see what the scriptures say. Let's look at the translations. Let's look at the Greek. Let's look at the Hebrew. And one of the examples that I mentioned that I gave them was about electricity. You know, electricity is a power. We can control it. We can make it turn on. It can run our computers. It can run the fans. It can do all sorts of things. But that electricity will do nothing unless I do something with it, unless there's a mind and a brain behind it. Mind and brain behind it can do all sorts of things. And I said, we get it. We understand. So with that analogy, you know, we are able to make some inroads. We talked about the kingdom of God, that the coming kingdom of God is really the only answer. And we talked about what the kingdom is and when that kingdom is going to come. We talk about God's kingdom, having a king being Jesus Christ. The territory where Jesus Christ is returning is to the earth. To the earth. We talked about the subjects being those people that God will call and eventually all nations. And we talked about the law of that kingdom is God's law, revealed to us even today in his word. You know, you could just see the excitement that they had as we went through many of these things. We went to Zechariah. We were at the feast, so we talked about the feast, and that the feast is to be kept in the future. And we talked about where Christ would return. Where is Christ going to return? And speaking about where Christ was going to return, that is what began to lead us into our presentation on Israel. Because what I did is I took them on basically a Google Earth trip from where we were in Calcutta and where we were in Sri Lanka, and had the Google Earth turn and show this is where we are, this is where Israel is. And this is where Christ says he's going to return. So we went through scriptures that he's going to return to the Mount of Olives. And I did the presentation that I'll do for the sermon today on Israel. This is what it looks like today. But we can look at the history and what has been excavated in Israel today, in that area of Old Jerusalem today, and know that it's the truth, because we can see the truth spoken about in Scripture in many, many areas. And I mentioned that with all the different things that they have uncovered and excavated, they yet have to uncover anything that goes contrary to Scripture, which is amazing. We went through Matthew, that upon Jesus Christ's return, certain things will need to happen. They're familiar with famine. They're very familiar with pestilence. They're even very familiar with earthquakes and other natural disasters. Up in the Bangladesh area, I think we're all familiar that sometimes they'll get torrential downpours and rains and mudslides and just kill hundreds of people. That's in that area, in that Calcutta, Bangladesh area of the world where we have God's people. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. He who endures to the end, and that's what I encourage them. They are many of them in some very difficult situations and circumstances, but God says that he who endures to the end, they're the ones that shall be saved. We covered the last great day, the last great day. How awesome that will be that we look forward to. The world needs Christ to return. No doubt about that. And it was from this point that I'll transition today, having that background of the work that the church is doing in those particular countries, to showing you some pictures and things that I have experienced in my travels through India. I have probably, I'm sure, thousands of pictures, but I'm focusing today on the people of India, really the children of India. This picture here is a typical government school. Typical government school in India, particularly when you get out to the suburban areas of India, are hundreds and hundreds of kids in a single school. I cannot imagine in a school system today having a kid sit down by the hundreds like these kids were. The schoolmaster said, everybody be seated. They all sat down and gave their 100% attention to me as I was speaking. You can almost hear a pin drop. Almost hear a pin drop, eager to learn, eager to understand. This is oftentimes they keep the boys and the girls separated. Yeah, there we go. These are pictures of several of the boys that were there. They often kept the boys and the girls in separate areas, with all the boys there anxious to learn, anxious to talk, anxious to be there. One of the places that I visit when I go to different countries, I try to get off the beaten path where the tourists are. Because when you go to poor countries, there are those who have, and then there are those who really do not have. And they all are children of God. They all will be called at some point in time. But when you talk about outreach and trying to reach individuals, you're trying to reach those who often do not have any other avenues. And one of the places that I visited, and I was in charge of, you know, a large portion of the humanitarian effort for the company that I used to work for, we visited a cancer hospital that was there. This foundation treats and cares for children with cancer and provides the most meager accommodations for parents to stay with them. Many of the doctors who serve in these areas volunteer. The medicine comes from places you're not sure how clean it is, because these hospitals in these rural areas do not have the means like we do. But I want to take you through some of these pictures. Some of the pictures may be hard to look at, but these are pictures taken with my camera. Kids that I talk with, kids that I hug, kids that I told them that, you know, there is an answer coming. But these children do not have access to the medical care that we do here in the United States. And I highlight India here, but this is the case in many of the third world countries around the world, whether you're talking about Africa, whether you're talking about places in China, et cetera. And we go there as tourists and we see, you know, the touristy places, the places that wants us to come back again. But these are places where people actually live and have to exist. This cancer ward, again, young people, just like our young people here, you know, looking forward to life. would have very, very difficult circumstances, very difficult lives ahead of them. I was able to sit and talk with them. Many of them spoke English, because English is a language that was taught, is taught prominently in the school systems there. Some of these children didn't make it 2 months after I left. Many of them did not make it. They didn't have the medicines in the hospitals that they needed. This young boy, I think, probably didn't make it the week. The doctor said, we just don't have the knowledge. We just don't have the medications to keep him alive. But it was so nice sitting there talking with him, and he managed to raise his hand up and give me somewhat of a smile. But again, we're looking at India, but this is the world. And we're so blessed here. We're so blessed here in this nation. This young man, you know, asked him what he wanted to be, an engineer, a programming engineer. You know, looking forward to the future, looking forward to doing something more in his life. Another young man here. Now, you see in many of these pictures, they're smiling. They're smiling because I have a camera. Because I take the picture and turn it around to them. There's not much to smile about. And that's why the hospital there enjoyed having me come and visit. This is a picture of their parents. Many of the parents who are at the place actually are there, not only caring for their children, because there's not a nursing crew and staff there. The parents come in, as well as doing a lot of the cleanup and everything else that has to be done in the hospital. And this is their life. This is what they, you know, what they persist and how they live. This little girl, just a doll. She was standing behind a group of individuals, didn't want to come forward when I was there with her, talking with her, because her hair is gone. And it took a lot of cajoling, a lot of smiling to get her to step out from around her parents to come in and give me a smile. This is a large portion of the world. This is a larger portion of the world. You know, we're blessed here. Many other nations are blessed. But these are the places that you don't see unless you visit off of the beaten track and actually have an effort to really go out and see some of God's less fortunate on this earth. The other place that I visited was this mental care facility, heartbreaking place. I mentioned here that the following photographs, some of them are chilling, realizing that these are human beings whose existence will likely end in the same conditions. The facility is maintained by an elderly man and an elderly woman. They were in their upper 70s at the time that I was there. They had come there many, many years ago. Both of them were doctors in England, had come and visited there and said, there's no way that we can go back home. They opened up a foundation to help the children there, initially received government funding for children up to age 6. The government says, great, you come in, you can build your facility, and after they reach age 6, we'll move them into another facility. Moving them to another facility never happened. And the government continued to send more kids to them, as well as people dropping off kids at their facility. Very, very sad conditions. This is one of the general area of this facility that they have there. Many of the children not only have physical disabilities, but it's called a mental care facility, but many of the kids have severe physical disabilities, very severe disabilities. You can see some of the children there. Some of them are very bright. This little boy that's being held in the arms, you'll see a picture of him in a little bit. He was just a joy. No mental issues at all. He came up to me laughing, smiling, but he has stubs his legs and stubs his fingers. His parents dropped him off at the facility and left, never to be returned as an infant. Because unfortunately, things are so poor in that particular country. If you're born with a child that has any type of disability, unless you have funds and money, it's very difficult to care for them. Very, very difficult to care for them. So this facility not only will accept anybody that's brought to them, oftentimes they go out looking for children who have needs. The volunteers there were outstanding. A lot of young ladies who volunteer their time after school to come in and care for and hold the children. They said most of these children, all they want to do is to be held. They just want to be held. This little girl in the corner, she was so cute. I went by and sat down with her and held her hand, and she just smiled and smiled and smiled. And the people there were like, we never see her smile. But unfortunately, as the kids get older, they get less attention. It's the little ones that end up getting most of the attention. And you can see some of the severe handicaps that some of the children have. This particular photograph here is of children who are severely mentally ill. This room was a room where they would take the babies and put them on these little hassock type things. There are mobiles that would turn around in the ceiling, light a light shining, just to get some type of mental stimulation. And that's basically all that they could do for these children. Again, many of them were just dropped off at the door, left at the door. You know, we talk about wanting Christ to return, needing Christ to return, urgently needing Christ to return. These are some of the pictures. Again, to see it with your own eyes, to take pictures with your own cameras, to be there, to hold them, to sense the smell, to see the tears, to shake the hands of the volunteers. And again, this is just one country. This is just India. With so many little children. And this, again, is just one facility that's trying to do, in their case, trying to do a world of good. This little girl, perfect hearing but blind. You say something to her, she'd smile. She tried to grab you. She wanted to just feel my face as I was standing there. I let her feel on my face, and the guy was like, you know, be careful, because this place has a lot of diseases. And I know I haven't gone to India yet where I haven't come home with something. I'll be okay. But you can see the smiles of these children. This infant here, just severely disabled. This is a mother here caring for her children as well as others' children that are there. So the parents would come off work, come there, do what they could in helping out. And this little boy, I mean, he was just such a joy. When I took the picture and then turned around and showed him a picture of himself, he couldn't keep still. He'd never seen himself. And he was just so happy. Some of the kids just come to mind. Some of the kids thought when I took their picture that they were inside the camera. This was one of the saddest places in this entire facility. As I mentioned, the place was designed only for kids up to 6 years old. The government didn't have another facility for them. So they end up using this facility, building this facility on campus for the most violent of the children. And some of them were severely, very, very violent. These were actual cages. I have other pictures that I won't show. These were actual cages that the children were kept in. The couple said, we don't know any other way, and so that they don't hurt others, they don't hurt themselves. We can't get very close to them. They get really excited. They start banging themselves against the wall. So we go through and we slide food under the door like they were animals. The week before I came there, a week and a half before I came there, one of the individuals broke out. It was obviously had a demon. And the people that were there recognized this as well. They said, I know that in some of these individuals, they're demons. This individual, these were bars on the windows and actual bars on the doors. One of the individuals actually broke and bent the bars and got out, went to town and killed several people. And of course, the person was killed by law enforcement. But he said, this is reality. He said, I can take you down. He walked me down part of it. He said, I can't take you to the worst of it, because you go down there, they get so excited, they will start really hurting themselves. You know, you talk about needing Christ's return. We need Christ to return. There's efforts that we need to do as a church with regard to, can we fix all of this? No. But that's why we're reading. That's why we're learning. That's why we are learning the things that God is trying to teach us. Because these are things that we are going to be called to fix in this world and in the world tomorrow that we look forward to so much. Again, some of the little boys that are there. So you can see the young boy here. You can go to the next one. This young boy here that sat here, that's how he sits all the time, in a pretzel. In a pretzel formation. They're like, we're not sure how he can have his bones sit like that. They try to get him up, walk him around, so they just feed him. And he basically is like that and sleeps for most of the day. These are babies that are there. They try to get them out into the sunlight, exercise them as much as they can. Young boy, he can't walk, but he scoots around. So I got on the floor and scooted around with him for a little bit. And he just smiled and laughed. This little girl is one of the success stories. There are several success stories, but she's one of the success stories. She's born without arms. Extremely talented, bright, sharp. She basically ran the place. Literally, she ran the place. She knew every child. She helped change diapers, believe it or not. She did everything. When I was there, she actually had some roses, some flowers, that she picked up off the floor with her hand, with her foot, placed on her head, walked over to me, took the roses off her head with her foot, and handed them to me, welcomed me to the place. Incredible. You can see here, she can write, she can draw, numbers, mathematics, science, everything with her feet. I received a picture. This picture was from a few years back. I received a picture recently that she graduated from high school, top of her class. She got into the media. The media ended up finding her, a lot of popularity, etc. Suddenly her mother shows back up after dropping her off as an infant, wanting some of the money, wanting her to come home. She said, no, this is my home. So she goes from school back there to help out at the facility that she grew up in. Absolutely incredible. These are some of the girls. They keep the girls and the guys separated. But you can see they're teenagers, some of them young adults. No place to send them. These are some of the young men. Severe mental illness. Healing that won't come until Christ returns. Another young man. I would sit and talk to him, but he wouldn't turn his face to the camera. You can see that he had some scars on his face. These, again, some young boys here. And this young man here was the young man who followed me around the whole time I was there. He wanted to carry my bag. I let him carry my bag. He sit down with me. Just a joy, an absolute joy. Just following me around the entire time I was there. But the future for him, the future for all of them, the real future is in Christ's return. You know, the world needs Christ to come back. Again, this is just a small excerpt of you know, this particular two hospitals, two areas in one country. And again, you saw the lucky ones at the government school. I would consider these lucky children who are in this facility, because there are so many across the earth that don't even get that. So I'm very happy that the work, the church is looking forward to doing a greater level of outreach, not only there, but here in our own communities. You know, there are communities and outreach services here in this area, in West Palm Beach, where people are trying to help those who have disabilities or who need food or counseling or other needs, that we can begin to try to reach out, we can begin to try to help. Clothes, other things that children need. So we're very, very happy about that. But these won't change until Christ returns. So for the second half of the meeting, you know, Where will Christ return? Christ is going to return to the Mount of Olives. So this is what we'll look at this afternoon. I want to take you to a tour of Israel for the sermon period. Take you through some pictures, take you through some slides. I might go a little bit over time. I'm going to try to click through those as quickly as possible. But we're looking forward to Christ's return. He's going to return to Israel. This next picture here is just a picture of the Temple Mount area. Those light gray areas are all graves on the Mount of Olives. And we'll look at that up closely as well. The next slide, these are things that we'll look at. We won't look at Masada. Masada, I have slides on that and multiple other places that we toured at that time. But we'll look at some of these pictures, the Mount of Beatitudes, the Mount of Olives, Garden Tomb, Place of the Skull, Temple Mount, Western Wall, Alaska Mosque, the Dome of the Rock, Via Della Rosa, the Holy Sepulchre, the Jewish Quarters, Jerusalem Archaeological Park, the Western Wall, the City of David, Hezekiah's Tunnel, and the Western Wall Tunnel, and then finally with the Israel Museum, a fascinating work of art that's there. So with that, again, saw the other pictures. Keep those pictures in mind. Again, want to show you these pictures of Israel. I know many of us won't get a chance to go there in this life. Look forward to being there in the next life. So we all will get a chance to go. We all just have to be faithful. And I'm sure when we get a chance to go, it's going to be even more spectacular than anything that we'll see today. So with that, we'll take another song. I'll be back for announcements, and then we'll go into the sermon.